Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show. It's the one you've been waiting for. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, and we do all kinds of other cool stuff. So glad to have you aboard as we roll into a new week here. Destined for greatness, I suppose. Something inspirational like that. Thank you for being here. Speaking of inspirational, there's not much more inspirational than watching one's eldest child walking the perimeter with a rifle and a pair of binoculars. Our oldest daughter took the goats for a walk as the siege has somewhat been broken. So perhaps by another neighbor. We heard gunshots the other day. We figure that the coy wolf is probably bothering other people besides us and people who might be better shots and better prepared. Maybe. So we've been letting the chickens free range, but only under adult supervision. And same with the goats. Take them for a walk, you got to go armed. But that was pretty inspirational. But other than that, if you're seeking inspiration, well, don't go to the Marine Corps. Don't tell it to the Marines. As we go into the decline and fall file, this is a story from the Marine Corps Times. Apparently, the attrition rates in the Marine Corps have been on the rise. Believe it or not, in our modern feminized, homosexualized society, fewer and fewer people can be Marines. Shocking, isn't it? So, what is the Marine Corps has had to modify its infantry officer course? What didn't we report on something last week that the Army did? Oh yeah, the grenade. Oh, yeah. You might blow yourself up, but whatever. Don't have to learn how to chuck a grenade 25 meters. Anyway, the Marines say that they're not watering down their standards. No, it's nothing like that. They want to more accurately replicate today's real-world requirements. Uh-huh. So what they've done is they've reduced the number of evaluated hikes, or as we used to call them in the Marine Corps, a hump. It was a hump. You had to go on a hump, and you had to do it in a certain amount of time. And if you couldn't, you were a loser. And you were retreaded back through training because you were just not anyway. But they've also removed the combat endurance test. Now that's big news. Infantry officer training in the Marine Corps is one of the most grueling training in the history of the world. One of them, but not as much as it used to be. The combat endurance test is gone, and you're only going to have to do four humps instead of eight, something like that. And the Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama bureaucrats who are running the Marine Corps right now, just so you know, this isn't the actual Marine Corps that started in 1775 at Tun Tavern, no. This is the Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama bureaucracy that runs the Marine Corps. They say that the changes were made to more accurately reflect standards in the Marine Corps Infantry Training Manual. And the manual undergoes a formal evaluation every 3 years. Okay, so. Now, as far as I knew, back in the day, the Marine Corps Combat Readiness Standards were developed from standards going back approximately 4,500 years. And they really haven't changed much at all. What is required for combat? What is required to endure combat? Well, it hasn't changed since the dawn of time. Basically, you need mental and physical stamina beyond anything that should be reasonably expected from a human being. I read the story of an enlisted man in the Army who fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He lived in the same foxhole for 2 weeks in the freezing cold. For 2 weeks, he couldn't move. He was pinned down. Anyway, what else? You have to have serious and superior self-preservation skills, navigation skills, survival skills, far beyond that of your average slimy civilian, as they called us when we arrived in boot camp. You have to have superior skills in weapons and tactics and hand-to-hand combat, all of that. And most importantly, you had to have the knowledge that the man next to you had the same. And so now it's just not that way anymore. I guess now they view combat in the modern era as something different than it's been for the past, 5,000 years. But it's not. But the Marine Corps is certainly different. All right. Maybe they'll start issuing pink uniforms. Lavender, maybe. Lavender uniforms? Anyway. But don't worry, America, because the robots are coming, and they will help us. This is from the War File. Defense One is reporting that the Army, that's the United States Army, has concluded a live-fire exercise using a remote-controlled ground combat vehicle with a fully automated machine gun. In other words, a robot. A robot with a machine gun. Matt Drudge is freaking out. The Army says it's the first time they've used a robot providing fire in tandem with human troops. Yeah, and some defense experts say that there are active plans to convert the U.S. Armed Forces to a machine majority force. A machine majority force. I'm all for that.
It's probably better.
Absolutely. Yeah. You won't have to worry. Well, but what are the liberals going to do? How are they going to conduct their social experiments if we replace all the soldiers and seamen and airmen and marines with robots? Because the robots can't get queered, I don't think. Although they might figure out a way to do it.
Well, more than that, what's
Hannity's doing? Who's Hannity going to call a great American if they're all robots? Who's Hannity going to bow and scrape in front of if there are no more? Well, anyway, let's see. Automated weapons will someday replace humans. Good, because, just like I was just talking about, the gentleman who lived in the foxhole for 2 straight weeks, scooping ice and snow out of his foxhole, he lost some of his toes. Nobody should have to go through that. I'm all for robots in combat, and I'm not scared of artificial intelligence. I don't think the robots will learn that we're bad and come and kill us. I don't think so. This is from Mint Press News and Defense One, by the way. A veteran of the British government communications headquarters who says he's familiar with U.S. military research predicts that there will be more combat robots than human soldiers by 2025, just 7 years from now. Well, good. I'm all for that. More robots, less humans having to face combat. That sounds good. No more freezing your toes off in the bottom of a foxhole. And no more social experimentation like what happened in Germany. Did you hear about this? Germany's fleet of warplanes, their Tornado warplanes, they were grounded last week after their fuel mixture included too much biodiesel. So all the fuel tanks in the Tornado fighter jets had to be flushed because too much... what is biodiesel? They get that from the restaurants. They go and collect all the grease out of the grease traps. And because everyone in Germany wants to be socially conscious and save the planet, they end up ruining their jets. And anyway, it's just... A robot would have never made that mistake. A robot would have gone for the most efficient and powerful fuel mixture possible so as to kill and destroy the enemy, which I thought was the point of the military. But anyway, let's move on from grease traps to hell on earth. It's the Hell on Earth File, ladies and gentlemen. And for a peek into hell on earth, we go to the Gaza Strip. Now, if you're familiar with geography and you look at the Gaza Strip, it should be a tourist paradise. Long stretches of beaches, calm, gentle Mediterranean surf. It should be a paradise. But instead, it's hell on earth. Why? Because it's ruled by Hamas. The Hamas terrorist organization. You remember? That was the first popularly elected terrorist government was in Gaza when the Palestinians elected Hamas over the equally inept and terroristic Palestinian Authority, which used to be the Palestinian Liberation Organization, which used to hijack planes and kill people. But anyway, apparently the beaches of the Gaza Strip, this is according to Citizen Online. I'll post a link. Beaches of Gaza will be completely closed at certain times in the coming weeks and months because sewage will be being pumped into the sea directly because the municipalities in the Gaza Strip are unable to provide fuel for the water treatment plants. And so instead, they will pump raw sewage out over the beautiful beaches of Gaza into the Mediterranean Sea. I said sewage. Raw sewage, yeah. And then, of course, the liberal press, the Citizen, whoever this is, wherever I got this story, they blame Israel. Israel has imposed a crippling blockade on Gaza for more than a decade. They do mention that Egypt has also sealed its border in recent years. Both countries, Israel and Egypt, cite security concerns because the Gaza Strip is full of terrorists. It's governed by terrorists. Can you believe this? Residents in Gaza receive 2 hours of electrical power a day. 2 hours in the 21st century. A United Nations envoy warns that the enclave is on the verge of full collapse. Well, I would say when you're pumping raw sewage anywhere except into a treatment facility, that's problematic. That's a red flag for sure. The raw sewage, I mean. It's hell on earth, for crying out loud. It's Gaza. Welcome to Gaza. So sad to see what bad religion and bad government does to people. Even in a place that should be a tourist mecca, to use anyway. We'll move from there. No, we'll stay in the hell on earth file. And for here, we go to the Palestinian Authority, oddly enough. The Palestinian Authority has announced their 2018 budget. Yes, the budget is going to be $5.8 billion, with some of the funds allocated to Hamas. That's the same Hamas who's pumping sewage into the Mediterranean. I haven't heard a lot of outrage from our eco-fanatic, all of those people. All of the Greens, they should be very upset with Hamas and the Palestinians, but I haven't heard a peep. Anyway, they are going to fund Hamas. They plan to run a budget deficit of $1 billion and a $5.8 billion budget for 2018. The PA says they intend to give $100 million to Hamas in Gaza, and maybe that will stem the flow of raw sewage. Maybe, perhaps, maybe not. Who knows? It's just, well, it's hell on earth, frankly. Now, we'll go a little bit more on the military into the decline and fall file. The Secretary of Defense, James Mattis, has apparently delivered his recommendation to the White House on trannies in the military. I said trannies in the military, yes. Not robots, trannies. Apparently, Trump told Mattis to study the idea of allowing mentally deranged transsexual freaks into the military. And oddly enough, several reports claim that Mattis has recommended that trannies should be allowed to continue in the military. That goes back, where's my, that goes all the way back to the Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama bureaucracy that's running the military. Trump said back in July, if you remember, that he didn't think trannies should be in the military. He even issued a memo prohibiting the military from enlisting such people. And he issued a memo saying we shouldn't be using funding to pay for gender reassignment surgery. But the military appears to be set to defy the president. The courts have been confronted with lawsuits claiming that trannies have the right to be in the military. But if I recall, the federal judges don't have the authority, if I recall. Now, maybe things have changed. Does the federal judiciary have the authority to override the president of the United States on military issues? Apparently they do. Judges have ordered the Department of Defense to ignore instructions from the president. Now, if that's not a constitutional crisis, I don't know what is, people, for crying out loud. But here we are. All right, now before we go to break, I want to make note that February 2018 will be remembered, as you all know, as a month that America lost an evangelist, a great evangelist. And this was a man I knew, a man who spent his life building a family and a company and learning to love the Lord with quiet dignity. A mostly kind fellow, mostly decent, usually soft-spoken, but not afraid to speak the truth or to crack a joke. He was a sinner like me, but a better man, more humble. He knew he needed to somehow fix the shortcomings that he had, that he knew God could not overlook, and so he asked Jesus, who is the Christ and the Son of the living God, to help him. And they became friends. Now, he was a man who chose to spend the twilight of his life preaching the gospel, but not just with his mouth, oftentimes with his hands and his mind and his time and his efforts. And he spent the whole time I knew him loving his wife, even when they argued, and his children, even when they failed him, and vice versa. And I mean children related to him by blood and otherwise. And he was an island of calm reliability in an often manic world where none of us are completely sure of exactly what we're supposed to be doing, but everyone worth their salt just knows we have to do something. Well, he knew. His name was Al. Al Sharon is his name. Al Sharon, evangelist. And I'm glad to have known him. And I look forward to seeing him again. And if you don't know Al, if you didn't know Al, well, that's just another good reason to want to get to heaven. Because he's there. And he'll be there alive forever with new material and new jokes and feeling better than ever. The Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. I'm glad I made it through that without choking up there. I really like Al. Good guy. Good guy and an evangelist. Yes, indeed. Now, so we'll go on because Al could be listening, although I doubt it. I'm sure he's got a lot of things to do. Do you ever wonder? I know a lot of dead people now. I mean, more and more. I know people who have died. And you know you're getting older as you... Everybody starts dying, right? So I know a lot of dead people, and dead people who I know are in heaven. And so do you wonder, are they watching ever? Or do they look? Can they see? I don't know. I'm assuming they probably have other things going on. That they, why would they want to look down upon a broken and fallen and oftentimes disgusting and revolting world when they're in heaven? And so Al's probably not listening because he's got other things going on. But just in case he is, on with the show. Did you notice that the new Apple calendar update, did you notice that it deleted Easter? It did. Not only did it delete Easter, it deleted the alternative Christian calendar. You can set your Christian calendar for Jewish holidays, Muslim holidays, Hindu holidays, or Christian holidays. It used to be. Well, the update came out. There was no Christian calendar. There was no Easter or Good Friday. The whole resurrection situation seemed to have been cut out of the new Apple calendar. Well, I didn't notice it because I don't use the Apple calendar. I use Google Calendar because I enjoy being spied upon. And so I didn't notice it, but I read a lot of articles and comments about it. And people were debating, was this deliberate? Was this a deliberate removal of Easter and Good Friday and the Christian calendar? Or was this just an omission? And I think it's reasonable odds, 50-50, could go either way. It could be that they just forgot about Easter because everyone who works at Apple forgot about Easter like, I don't know, 2-3 generations ago. Or it could have been deliberate because while the people who work for Apple certainly don't celebrate Easter, they don't believe in God, but they do hate him. And they do try to do things to annoy those of us who know God. And they do things just to annoy God himself, even though they don't believe in him. They insist he doesn't exist, but they still hate him. Which, I mean, explain that one to me. But there you have it. Well, anyway, either way, even if it was just apathy, apathy is hatred. And so Apple hates God. That's what it is. That's the problem. And so that's why they left the resurrection of the living God off their calendar update, which, by the way, they fixed it within, I think, 48 hours. They put through a patch so that you could once again have Easter notated on your calendar. Although that's always annoyed me with calendars, putting any kind of notification of a holiday, that's just annoying to me. Because most of them I just don't care about. I care about Thanksgiving and Easter. Even Christmas, I don't really care so much for Christmas. And I certainly don't need a reminder. I mean, if you need a reminder that Easter is, maybe you need to check your priorities if you're not sure when Easter is. Anyway, all right. Where should we go now? Should we go to Toledo? Toledo had a bad week. Yeah, the Toledo Blade is reporting that a pastor and his family have been arrested for robbing a Sunday school teacher at church. Yes, at church. It's nothing to laugh about, right? A minister robbing a Sunday school teacher? This was at St. Paul's AME Zion Church. And that's why I'm laughing, because it's an AME Zion Church, because they're a bunch of liberal scum. And I don't even believe they preach the gospel there. Well, they might by accident. They might stumble backwards into the gospel once in a while. Okay, I'll give them that. But at this particular church, apparently not big on the Ten Commandments, at least. Thou shalt not steal. Apparently not one of the top 10 items taught there. The pastor, Anthony, and his wife and their daughter are charged with aggravated robbery with a deadly weapon. They smacked, beat, pushed, punched the Sunday school teacher and stole items from her purse. That's just, her cell phone was recovered, but the glass was broken. That's just sad. Anyway, that's just another reason not to attend a mainline evangelical church. Mainline evangelical Protestant churches are generally toxic environments to where the gospel has long ago been forgotten. And this buttresses my axiom that 95% of the people in the pulpit today are not qualified to be there. Because if there's any circumstances under which your pastor might beat, punch, kick, and knock down the Sunday school teacher and then remove items from her purse, you might want to consider changing churches. And it's, well, there you go. That's Toledo. And then listen to this. I don't even know if I want to do this. This is disgusting. Bad religion file. Three Toledo pastors are answering accusations that they acted together to entice underage girls to engage in sex for money. Now, the Reverend Cordell Jenkins, the Reverend Anthony Haynes, and the Right Reverend Kenneth Butler are charged with conspiracy to traffic children. That's according to the U.S. attorney. A girl who was just 14 years old when the conspiracy began back in 2014 claims that she was assaulted by all three of these so-called reverend men. Reverends is what they're called. Yeah. And two of these pastors use cell phones to record assaults. So this is more than just mere allegations. There's video. Well, that's just, that's bad religion. That's all. And most of modern day evangelical Protestantism is bad. That's all. And these are just some of the grossest examples of that. Grossest. In fact, these three Toledo pastors are the most disgusting thing I've heard of since the last time I read a story about a Catholic priest, I guess, frankly. All right, I'm going to leave that aside, and we'll move from this horrible example of evangelical Protestantism. We'll move from there to Jim Baker, the preacher Jim Baker. You remember him? You don't remember him. No, because before you came here, he was...
I know.
You remember Jim and Tammy Faye the makeup running down the face and the fake tears and hands in the air and the laying on of hands? And
I remember.
Jim Baker's back on TV, apparently. And he's preaching now on the apocalypse. He feels that he's been called to warn people about the end of days. Why? Because there's money in it. That's why. If you make insane, stupid videos about the end of days and space aliens and demons, you can make money. And Jim Baker, one thing you can say about Jim Baker, he's no dummy. So he's going to make money. He's on TV preaching the end of the world. He will sell you fuel-less generators. I never heard of that. What is a fuel-less generator? I guess it'd be solar, right? I guess. Anyway, he's hucking generators, doomsday guidebooks, and freeze-dried food with a shelf life up to 30 years. If it's the end of the world, what do you need a shelf life of 30 years for, Jim? I mean, is the apocalypse going to last 30 years, Jimbo? I mean, haven't you read Revelation? Maximum 7 years. So why would you need a 30-year? Do I have my eschatology right? I hope I'm not messing that up. I think it's 7 years, if I'm not mistaken. That's the most. And so right now we have refrigerators and freezers, Jimbo. We don't need to store freeze-dried food underground yet. And once it all comes down, anyways, whatever. Let's see. Jim's back, and he's hosting a show with his new wife, Lori. Uh-huh. And they're selling merchandise. But it's not just for the end of the world, by the way. Earthquakes, hurricanes, war, famine, rumors of war, all of that. Yeah. He's got it. But Jim Baker's common refrain on his new TV show is that we are in the final days. So get your 30-year shelf life freeze-dried food. And people are buying it. I mean, it just proves that there is never underestimate the stupidity of the majority of people on the face of the planet. There's a reason God called us children and sheep. There's a reason, because he knows us fairly well. And Jim Baker knows his audience, and apparently he knows where his bread is buttered, and he's back. And surely this is a sign of the end. Obviously affected by something on board there, because how does this guy come back and preach the gospel? He's not preaching the gospel. He's preaching the end of the world. But even Jim Baker falls backwards into the gospel by accident upon occasion, and people at his end of the world prayer meetings, in between buying their fuelless generators and their freeze-dried food, people find the Lord. Because the gospel is more powerful than the men who preach it. And that's good, because quite often it's, it's like, I think the, who was the Indian guy who used to try to kill himself all the time? Huh? Always threatening to kill himself.
Gandhi?
Didn't Gandhi say, it's not your Christ that I have a problem with, it's your Christians? I think Gandhi said that. Yeah, and you can't argue that sometimes there's some truth to that, but that's not why Gandhi went to hell. Gandhi went to hell because he rejected the offer that Jesus Christ made to him to forgive him for his sins, and instead Gandhi said, I have no sin. And so that's why Gandhi's in hell, okay. But Christians can be, they can push people away. I was accused this week on Facebook as I was having a debate with an open, aggressive, atheist, homosexual friend. He's a friend of mine on Facebook, which means not a real friend. He's just on Facebook, he's a friend. And out of his own pride, he refuses to unfriend me. Because he knows I can't understand why this guy hasn't unfriended me. I have brutalized this person. And this week I called him out as he was using the kids from the mass shooting to push gun control. It made me sick to my stomach. And so I called him out, and we ended up, as we always do in every conversation, we ended up getting down to Jesus Christ. That was what it all came down to. And that's when the conversation finally comes to an end, is when I bring it down to the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he is going to judge you. And you need him to be your advocate and not your judge. And anyway, that's where the conversation ends. One of his friends told me that you push more people away from God than draw people to God. You're so mean. You say mean, hurtful things. Just because I told this guy that you are on your way straight to hell with jet rockets because you hate God. That's what I told him. That's hurtful. How about him hating God? Isn't that hurtful to God? Anyway, all of his friends, they do not like me. They do not. All of his real friends. Although I don't know. They're Facebook friends. They could be fake as well. Meanwhile, let's go to the justice file, because justice is languishing. In a nation that has lost the ability to define what a man and a woman is, believe it or not, we can't even figure out when it's appropriate to punish the guilty. Huntsville, Texas. Texas Governor Greg Abbott, according to CNN, reduced Thomas Whitaker's sentence to life in prison without parole. Why, you ask? Well, because Whitaker was convicted of capital murder. Well, now that's a non sequitur. What? Wasn't there some questions about what he maybe some new evidence, some DNA evidence? Turns out he didn't do it. No, none of that. This murderer, Thomas Whitaker, was convicted of capital murder in connection to the killing of his mom and brother. So this guy killed his mother and his brother is what he did. And he was convicted of capital murder in 2003. During the ambush, but listen to how CNN reports this. This really makes me mad about the language. He was convicted of capital murder in connection with. In connection to, I'm sorry, let me get it right. In connection to the 2003 killings of his mom and brother. You see how they've removed responsibility from him in that sentence? Anyway. During the ambush, Whitaker's mother and brother were killed. Oh, well, who did the ambush? Oh, it was this guy. Oh. His father survived after receiving a gunshot to the chest. Now, court records indicate that it's possible that it wasn't this particular guy who pulled the trigger, because there was another guy with him who helped him. And it may have been that guy who actually pulled the trigger. What we do know for sure is that Whitaker's mother and brother were killed and that his father was shot in the chest. And we also know there's evidence that came out at trial that Whitaker organized a conspiracy to kill his family in order to receive an inheritance. So that all came out at trial. So who's worse? The guy who comes along to do the killing, or the son who conspires to kill his mother and his father and his brother to inherit money? Who should be put to death more painfully? I think it's the guy who organized the conspiracy. But Texas Governor, what's his name? Greg Abbott, this vacuous, empty suit? He's not sure. And because there's a possibility that although Whitaker organized the conspiracy and convinced other people to help him murder his own mother, Abbott can't, well, there's a chance he didn't pull the trigger. And listen to this. Listen to how insane the world has become. Whitaker's father, the murderer's father, who was shot in the chest during an ambush organized by his son, maybe by his son himself. Whitaker's father insists that he would be victimized again if the state put to death his only remaining immediate family member. So the father petitioned the governor to stay the execution, and Texas Governor Greg Abbott, at the very last minute, this guy was being strapped in, and now he's going to live. He was given life in prison without parole, which means he could be paroled someday. That's all that means. It's quite possible he'll die of natural causes in prison, but it's also possible that he will be paroled, because the machinations of the just system just keep grinding and churning, and you just never know what'll happen. The big wheel's spinning, and you never know whose number is going to come up. So thank you, Greg Abbott, for being a horrible example to the children of America who need to know that there is ultimate justice, and you, as the governor, Mr. Abbott, are responsible for the dispensation of that justice and the teaching of the children. And what you have just taught them is a terrible lesson. And God will require this of you. God will have a conversation with you, Governor Abbott, about what you have done here. You disgusting coward. You liar. He claims to be a conservative, pro-family, pro-life, pro-you name it, everything. Everything that CPAC touts, except maybe the queers. I know the CPAC's big on the queers. CPAC happened this week, by the way, did you know? He said to his extremely attractive audio engineer. She had no idea. Do you know what CPAC stands for? Nothing. Nothing at all, as a matter of fact. All right. Let's go on to further, deeper. We wade up to our chest in the decline and fall file. As a judge in Ohio. Now, Ohio, that's the heartland, right? Ohio. Well, listen to what's happened in our heartland. A judge has allowed a 17-year-old girl to be taken out of the custody of her parents so that she can go undergo transgendered sexual reassignment surgery. So because the parents don't support the idea that their confused, obviously mentally disturbed 17-year-old wants to become a boy. So the judge took the girl away from the parents and gave the girl to her grandparents, who are some kind of aging hippie types who do support the idea of mutilating this child physically and chemically in order to make her into a boy. Judge Sylvia Sieve Hendon of Hamilton County, Ohio, a name that will live in infamy. Apparently, the girl was having a very hard time because her parents continued to call her their daughter. They continued to call her by her given name rather than the male name that she had chosen. And the girl claimed that she became suicidal as a result of her parents' refusal to accept that she wanted to become a man. She became suicidal. Can you imagine what her parents were going through? Oh. Now, the parents, they argued at court. They had to go to court, if you can believe this. They argued that their daughter was not even close to being able to make such a life-altering decision at this time. The prosecutor, however, claimed that the parents were opposed to their daughter transitioning because they were Christians. That's what it was. And so the judge was like, oh, Christians, eh? I thought I could smell them when they came in. Off with their heads.
Took the daughter away.
Yeah. The girl's attorney said that the teen was forced to attend a Catholic school. Oh, and she was forced to wear dresses and use her birth name. So, anyway, wow. That's just shocking. And, you know, I'm not a Catholic, and I've got my beef with the Catholic Church. I think they screw a lot of people's heads up with their whole perpetual guilt trip in there. You know, the Catholic Church has its problems, okay? But at least at this Catholic school, they knew that a girl was a girl. And if a teenager's going through some mentally unstable times, that's not the time to start cutting things off and adding things on and giving them hormones. That's not. Please. All right? For crying out loud. But there you have it. The parents lost custody of the girl because they would not allow her to mutilate herself and to decline into a swirling, sucking eddy of mental derangement and despair. They tried to stop that. And so the other people who want to molest this girl, they took her away. That's my opinion. What's your motivation to do this to a child? What could possibly be your motivation? I'm very suspicious. All right. Anyway, we heard about the deputies at the school shooting down in Parkland, Florida. Deputy Scott Peterson, he never went in. He remained outside for approximately 4 minutes. He was going to be suspended, but he chose to resign. That was shocking, right? When we all heard that, I was shocked. They asked the sheriff, the news media asked the sheriff at a press conference, what should he have done? And the sheriff said, or I don't know if it was the sheriff or the police spokesman, said he should have went in and addressed the killer. He should have killed the killer. Makes sense, right? Then we found out that three other officers, this now qualifying as reason number 1,124, to get or keep your children out of the government schools, while the shooting's going on, the police might hide. That's reason number 1,124. Because in total, four sheriff deputies hid behind their cars and did not go in with their guns drawn, hearing the gunfire in the school, and they did not go in. And there's all these reports coming out now. The Broward County Sheriff's Office had received at least 18 calls about this maniac. By the way, they call him a shooter in this New York Post article, and they called him a shooter in the CNN article. I don't like that term, shooter. A shooter is someone plinking at cans or target practice. Then you're a shooter. This is a killer. This is a murderer. This is a maniac. This is a madman. A killer, I think, is the appropriate term. I think the sheriff, it was the sheriff, he said he should have killed the killer. The sheriff knew what he was talking about. All right. So anyway, now the government is telling us that we have to give up our guns because we should let the government take care of us. And then we look here, and the government did not take care of these people. This is the complete and utter failure of the government to protect people from a maniac with a gun. And if there had been one person there with a gun, this maniac may not have killed so many people. So anyway, you know where I stand on gun ownership. I think we have the right to own weapons for self-defense, of course, and the right to carry them. The Constitution, I think it says to keep and bear. And I think bear means bear, like carry. I think that means carry. So we all have the right to carry weapons for our self-defense. And unfortunately, we've come to a place where we need that in our schools, which that's a real shame, but that's really where we are. We have to have armed people in the schools. And the schools, well, they have to resemble something like what I've been saying they are for better part of two decades. They need to, well, they need to be locked down. It's basically like a prison. Case in point, this is from one of our correspondents, one of our regular contributors. Yes, from from our Arctic, our Arctic contributor. What do I want to call it? I had another term right there on the tip of my tongue, and then it slipped away. And that's another the way you know you're getting older. Is when you can't put words together and make sense, right? There's the funerals, that's one thing. And then there's the not being able to speak when you need. You lose command of your faculties on a more and more regular basis because the second law of thermodynamics has taken over and everything is moving from a state of order to a state of disorder, including my mind, the Arctic Bureau. The whole time I was talking, what I was actually trying to do was think of the term Arctic Bureau. That's what I was doing. So, and I got to that. This is from our Arctic Bureau. This is from the Call a Spade file. And it's an article from the Federalist by Stella Morabito about how the bureaucrat-run mega schools are ruining our kids. Ah, yes. So she says, apologists for the government school system shift blame for their failures using the kids themselves as mouthpieces. Meanwhile, they keep feeding the beast by mass institutionalizing kids. Wow. That's really what's going on. You look at the size of that school. I mean, and so that I'm going to mention Billy Graham then. Billy Graham also died, another evangelist of some report. Billy Graham, to me, was the birth of the mega church. Billy Graham, to me, was the guy who gave people the idea that they could get together with 10 or 100,000 people that they probably never see again, and they could all go and experience some sort of uplifting moment, and that was supposed to be religion. And I just never bought that. Billy Graham also kissed the rings of every president from John F. Kennedy to Barack Obama and told them all, and gave them all some sense of comfort that they were not going to be judged by God for all of the horrible things that they've done, including the murder of tens of millions of children over which every president since Richard Nixon has presided. And I don't know that Billy Graham ever brought that up to any of them as he was dining and drinking fine wine. And these schools remind me of mega churches. They're just so huge. And there's thousands and thousands of people, and it's like a big institution. And Stella Morabito at the Federalist goes on, talking about these giant mega schools. She says, these settings serve as incubators for social alienation. First, consider how common it is for a public high school today to house thousands of teenagers for most of their waking hours for 4 years. Four solid years. More than 3,000 students attended the Florida school where the most recent shooting took place. During their time in the maze, kids learned to socialize. And basically, They socialize by finding their place in a school's hierarchy of cliques. This sort of pecking order dynamic tends to breed resentment, status, anxiety, and social dysfunction. Combine that with the toxic effects of social media and family breakdown, and you've got a deadly brew. Public schooling is increasingly unhealthy for kids' emotional stability. Let us count the ways. And she goes on to say an awful lot. I'll post a link to this. She concludes, she says, the jury should have been out a long time ago. As long as we institutionalize kids into prison-like schools built on a factory model and without any other choices, we'll get more and more dysfunction. Well, what does she mean without any other choices? There are other choices. But I will agree with her that the government makes it very difficult. All of society makes it very difficult to choose other options other than the public schools. She says, when will we stop feeding this beast? I'm Doug McBurney. Welcome back to the Boiler Room here at the McBurney Compound, where I'm joined in studio by my extremely attractive audio engineer. And many people talked this past week about the next school massacre. When will it be? Where will it be? We all know it's coming. When will it be? Where will it be? Well, it was almost in Ohio. Ohio again. Ohio had a bad week. New York Daily News reports that an Ohio seventh grader died Tuesday after shooting himself with a rifle inside the bathroom at his school. This was Jackson Memorial Middle School early in the morning out in Akron, Ohio. The young man, they found a backpack containing distractionary type devices. So he had like some flashbangs and some smoke grenades, so he was looking to do no good. And for whatever reason, he decided to shoot himself in the bathroom instead of going out and shooting all the other students. He used a .22 caliber rifle, by the way, which, just in case you don't know, an AR-15 is basically a .22 caliber rifle. I think it's .223, technically, 5.56 millimeter. It's a .22. And it's semi-automatic. But anyway, that's all it is. It's not really an assault rifle. But anyway, you hear all that on Hannity and Levin and Limbaugh all day long. So I don't need to. You know, I met a Columbine survivor just by chance in my work this earlier. I think it was on Thursday or Friday. And so she mentioned that she had survived Columbine, and so naturally it came up, and people in the room asked, why is this happening? And after everybody posited their, the gun rights person said their gun rights thing, rah, don't take our guns. And then the gun control person said their thing, rah, we need to take away these guns. And I said, I know why. And so I said, atheism, that's why. And then everyone in the room at that point was very uncomfortable, except for me. I was fine. I said, I didn't let them off the hook with just atheism either, because then now I had them, they're all uncomfortable. Nobody can leave. I'm running the whole meeting. So I told him, I said, I believe that every baby is born knowing God, knowing there is a God and knowing God. So when a young person's parents and his school and his teacher and the culture at large, then they condition him to deny reality that he knew the day he was born, to deny God, well, he'll develop mental illness at some level. Because if you deny reality long enough, you will go crazy. That's putting it too, that's pithy, but if you deny reality long enough, you will suffer mental illness. I should put it more clinically, in a clinically accurate vernacular. But if you deny God long enough, you're going to go nuts. And some of those people, some of those marginal people will kill other people and themselves. So then everyone was just, they were headed for the exits. Anyway, it was quite an interesting meeting. It pretty much wrapped up after that. Everybody thought it was going to be a debate about gun control. Nobody expected to be confronted with their own knowledge of the living God and the fact that they have been denying reality for their whole life. Although I don't know if the girl who was the Columbine survivor, I don't know if she was an atheist. I just know everybody got really uncomfortable. So take that for whatever it's worth. Now, we are running short on time. So let's go to the domestic tranquility file, where I pulled this story down from McClatchy about all of the fake tweets and fake news reports after the shooting there in Parkland. A perpetrator created fake tweets that looked like they came from a reporter for the Miami Herald. One fake tweet asked for photos of the dead bodies, and another asked if the shooter was white. And then someone else, maybe the same person, we don't know, created a phony Miami Herald story indicating that a new mass shooting was in the offing. Any minute now, someone else was about to open fire. And so the people in Florida, in the area of Parkland, they were already freaked out. They're already terrified. Some of them have just lost their children. Many of them don't know if their kids are alive at this point. And this, all this fake stuff starts happening, and really evil people go online and try to gin up more fear and more pain and more hurt. Monique O'Madden, a Herald reporter, her byline appeared on the fake story, and she said it looked super, super real. The motive behind the hoaxes was not clear, but someone obviously sought to create alarm, says the reporter from McClatchy. They tried to create fear among a population that was already terrified. Why would you want to do that? Just evil, evil people. Dark, dark, evil people. Aviv Ovadva from the University of Michigan School of Information says this is sort of the very, very beginning of something that could be much, much darker. The ability to create fake media and even fake video is just about here now. And amateurs will be able to create images that are totally false but look real. So in the wake of the next shooting, which we're all just waiting for, it's like the next Muslim suicide bombing. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when and where. Same thing with school shootings in America. It's just a matter of where and when. We're all waiting. And after this shooting in Parkland, there were false alarms at a dozen schools in Colorado that I'm aware of. And I believe at hundreds, if not thousands, of other schools across the country for several days after this happened. So there was all this fear, confusion. And people want to know why. Why is this happening? Why, in the wake of something so awful, are there dark hearts out there who want to gin up even more pain and more suffering and more fear and more confusion? Well, I will tell you why. And you might not want to hear this, but I'm going to tell you why. Did you think that you could embrace the falsehood that we as a society could murder innocent children without any consequence? Did you believe that? Did you think we could kill tens of millions of innocent people and just go on with our lives? Just go to the mall and to the movies and out to the restaurant? Did you really think we could do that? Did you think we could murder all those innocent people without any consequence? Did you really believe that we could lie to generation after generation after generation about life and the universe and everything and God and right and wrong? Did you think we could just do that and just go on as if everything was okay? What do you think would follow? You thought everything was going to be cool? Well, everything's not going to be cool. God himself tells us that because you have not hated the shedding of innocent blood, blood will follow you. Bernie, and decided to just add another segment because I can. And I thought that that was the thing to do. So we move on. This will be a short segment. It's reason number 1,125 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Two twin brother teachers have lost their jobs as teachers in the state of California. Cliff and Clint, the twins, face felony charges of possessing child pornography. Cliff was a teacher at Willow Glen Middle School in San Jose. Clint was a track coach at Oak Grove High in San Jose for more than 20 years. The superintendent of the San Jose schools issued a statement because he absolutely did not want to stand up on a dais and answer questions about the two teachers with all the child porn. So he issued a statement in lieu of a press conference saying, quote, "We are disappointed."
Disappointed.
He used the word disappointed. "We are disappointed to learn of these allegations as we expect our employees to be professional and ethical in their interactions with students, other employees, and the community."
The community.
I hate that word. I'm so sick of that word. He's disappointed in the allegations, really. He's not shocked. He's not disgusted. He's not dismayed. He's not angered. He's disappointed. At this point, they are just allegations, except for the fact that they had all this pornography on their computers. But maybe someone broke into their house and put those computers in their house in order to frame them. That's probably what it was. Yeah. So we have to We have to presume innocence, I suppose. Now, from the New World Order file, we talked about the Illuminati last week.
New World Order.
So here's from the New World Order file. Yeah.
Okay.
Jennifer Bilek, a New York-based feminist, says that the transgender ideology is being covertly funded by a network of wealthy transgender donors and investors in the drug, surgery, and healthcare industries. Yes. Covertly? Is the tranny ideology being funded covertly? I mean, it's primarily being funded by the United States government, as far as I can tell. But apparently there are other... And why would it be covert? I don't think it's covert. I think nobody's noticed it, and I appreciate Jennifer pointing it out. She tracked the flow of funding via donors and business groups. And let's see. She argues that more than $400 million has been spent to promote the claim that people can switch their gender if they want to do so. And I'll post a link to the article because you'll want to see who all's involved in this, and it's no surprise. She says there's growing evidence that the transgendered ideology and associated medical treatments are hazardous to the subject's health and stability. Imagine that. There's growing evidence. Growing evidence? I mean, up until like 20 minutes ago, we all thought that transgenderism was a mental disorder. That we didn't need any growing evidence. There's growing evidence that all of society is losing their minds if they need evidence that taking hormones to become a girl generally means you're nuts. Aren't certain things obvious? Apparently not anymore. It's not as obvious as it used to be. And so we'll go from the New World Order file to the Brave New World file, where a church, Metro City Church, where are they? They're in the United States of America. Here we go. Taylor, Michigan. Metro City Church announced a workshop for teenage girls struggling with questions about their sexual identity. And since then, people have basically threatened to burn down the church and kill the pastor and his family. Just because he wants to open up a dialogue with teenagers who might be questioning their sexual identity and present them with a Christian worldview to try to solve their struggle. He says every kind of threat imaginable, from killing my family to burning down our church, has been leveled against us, said the pastor Jeremy Shasau. Let's see. He went to the state capitol last week with other pastors and supporters to beg the state not to burn the church down. Listen to this. The attorney general's office is calling for an investigation into the congregation. Two legislators have openly spoken out and introduced a bill to make what they call conversion therapy. That means converting from a mentally ill person considering sex reassignment surgery, converting back to a normal, healthy person. That's conversion therapy. They introduced a bill to make it illegal. Next week, they might introduce a bill to burn the church down. Protesters gathered outside the church on occasions of the six-week workshop, which has been canceled. One person threatened to have Antifa show up armed and ready. And so what did the Christians do? They canceled the workshop. And that's what I would have done. People threatening to burn your church down and kill your family. People say, why do you run away from the public schools? Why have you pulled your kids out of the public schools and run away? Well, because I'm not stupid. I know if I'm going to lose. There's a hill worth dying on, and trying to overcome the public schools or the homosexual agenda with your kids and your church and your family and your property, that's not a hill worth dying on. You can all go straight to hell before I would risk my kids or my church or my property on any of you deviant perverts threatening to burn the guys out. It was supposed to be a six-week workshop. Yeah, how long does it take to convince someone that they're a girl? Yeah, that should take 15 minutes tops. Maybe an hour if you're... Anyway, Van Jones rears his ugly head in regards to the children being manipulated and used in light of the Parkland shooting to advance the leftist, maniacal, antichrist agenda. Van Jones says the children of Parkland are leading, and Jesus would be proud. Van Jones used the name of Jesus Christ. Van Jones, he is a maniacal communist son of Satan, is what he is. He worked for Barack Obama until they had to fire him because he was so radically leftist. He says in Jesus' time, children had very little status. Yet when his disciples were turning away children, Jesus said, "Let the children come to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And he went on to talk about Martin Luther King and the Birmingham jail and everything else. Just that's from the blasphemy file, by the way. For Van Jones to use the name of Jesus is outright blasphemy. That's the Weekly Worldview, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com, American Right to Life, and of course my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen. Should the Lord, Terry will return next week, and until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.